This week, we're going to talk about the beginning of Parshas Vayetze. So each week when I start off, I seem to be saying that it's very challenging how I'm going to frame this week's Parsha to find a lesson. And this Parsha was no different. So here's this week's challenge. The beginning of Parshas Vayetze in the Tzener Rena is essentially the questions and answers of Rashi from the first parak, Parak Chav Ches. And I am very, very familiar with these Rashis. I taught them in high school for a number of years, and I also taught them as a third grade teacher. If there are Rashis that I can read through quickly and know what the content says, these are they. And that's an issue, because when you read something through without thinking, there's no way to find meaning and relevance. So to craft a class, I was forced to slow down. The Tzener Rena helps with this in this week's Parsha because he quotes the question of Rashi a number of times before offering Rashi's resolution. Why is that important? What can we learn from the fact that there are questions and then answers? In Judaism, questions play a key role in one of the central religious celebrations that we have every year. At the Pesach Seder, we have four questions. The halacha is that the youngest child asks, and if not, the wife asks, and if not, a person should ask themselves. Only after questions can the retelling of the story of coming out of Egypt begin. Rav Tzadok says that having questions are essential to learning anything new, as that's what gives us fresh eyes for a topic. With Rashi, I have learned them year after year, so I needed to slow down and think about the questions so that the answers would be fresh and I could approach it as an adult teaching other adults. There's an interesting side point. Many of the Rashis quoted by the Tzener Rena are dependent on a few words with dual meanings in Hebrew text. First, those who read the Tzener Rena would need to know these words, otherwise the explanations would be disjointed and seem random. Also, the answers which reveal deep truths about the Jewish people and the purpose of life itself could be missed if Rashi hadn't noted an anomaly with a word or phrase. It's not just about having questions on big ideas. We need to be curious and observant about the small details to find meaning in life. The goal today is to look again at the first few Rashis as they are quoted by the Tzener Rena and see what we can learn. I'm going to use the translation of the Tzener Rena as opposed to translating the original Rashi, as the translation that the Tzener Rena has holds within it interpretations which change the meaning. At the end of Parshas Toldos, Rivka is frightened that Esav will kill Yaakov when Yitzchak dies, and she tells Yaakov to go to his father's house. She tells Yitzchak that he needs to get married. Yitzchak calls him in and tells Yaakov to go to Lavan and get married. This is where the parsha begins, that Yaakov travels to Haran. On the way, he stops on a place to rest as it was dark. Yaakov has a dream with Malachim going up and down the ladder, and Hashem is standing. He sees Hashem on top. Hashem promises to give him and his children the lands of Israel. Yaakov's children will be blessed, Hashem promises, to be like the sands of the ground, and everyone in the world will be blessed through the children of Yaakov. Hashem will also protect Yaakov throughout his upcoming life journey. Yaakov wakes up and acknowledges this is a holy place. He then builds a monument to Hashem and promises to give 1/10 of his income to Hashem if he survives his exile to Haran. This summary, as always, does not appear in the Tzener Rena, so I'm just telling it to you so we can understand the context of what we're going to learn next. The Tzener Rena assumes this knowledge before a person would read his Sefer, and he begins by looking at the first pasuk in the Parsha. The Parsha begins with a strange phrase, Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva. Yaakov went out from Be'er Sheva, Vayelech Harana, and he traveled to Haran. On this phrase, Rashi asks our first question, why did the pasuk say that Yaakov left Be'er Sheva? We already know that Yaakov was in Be'er Sheva. The phrase is redundant. Every word in the Torah is important because it was written by Hashem, and Hashem doesn't add extra words. Rashi's answer is that the pasuk wants to teach us the lesson that whenever a tzaddik is in the city, he is its beauty and he is the light of the city. And when he leaves the city, its beauty changes and its glory changes. Looking at this Rashi and the Tzener Rena, I'd like to address a deeper question. Why is Rashi commenting? What is the lesson behind the grammar explanation? The Gor Aryeh says that really, the terminology used in the pasuk should have been vayelech. When Yaakov leaves his parents at the end of the last week's parsha, vayetze is the wrong word. Animals go out, people journey, go halach. And if it told us that Yitzchak sent Yaakov in the last parsha, why does it need to repeat that Yaakov left with the strange language that it's using here? The Gor Aryeh's explanation, which will help us understand the Tzener Rena, is that the parsha needed to begin with a strange word about Yaakov's departure to make sure that we understand that is not the story of a regular person on a hike. This is Yaakov Avinu. Hashem is orchestrating the whole universe from the Malachim to the earth itself to bring Yaakov Avinu together with the holiest place on earth, Har HaMoriah, the site of the Beis HaMikdash, to create the Jewish nation. There is a destiny and it is beginning now. Every Rashi and every pasuk in this short section must be viewed with this perspective. When Rashi comments, it adds to our awareness that an earth-shattering new reality is being created here. It continues that Yaakov sets out for his journey and it takes a total of one day. It was a journey of 7 days and he traveled in the course of 12 hours and not more. He then reaches a new place. The pasuk uses the word vayifga b'makom and he encountered the place. Once again, the word choice is strange. The verb group, pe gimel ayin, means to hit into. Just like the word vayetze at the beginning of the parsha, there are better words to have used. It should have said vayavo and he came. How could Yaakov hit into a place? The Tzen Arena, based on the Midrash, cites a few interpretations. The first is that the place jumped to him because his journey was sped up. Hashem wanted Yaakov, this holy person, to meet with him at this most holiest place. Time and space was not a barrier. Chazal give another explanation. Vayifga b'makom, and he encountered the place. Pegil gimel ayin means he encountered, in a spiritual sense, the one who is called hamakom, the place of the world. How does one encounter Hashem? Through prayer. The Tzen Arena teaches us that Yaakov set off on his travels and he quickly made it to Beersheba, from Beersheba to Haran. When he came to Haran, he got very upset that he had passed by Har HaMoriah, the site of Akedas Yitzchak, and he hadn't davened at that holy place. He so regretted it that he started to go back. What did Hashem do? He brought Har HaMoriah to him. What is this section of Tzen Arena teaching us? When we look at the words, we see that either of the translations had better words. It could have said he came, and it could have said that he prayed. It could have used the word that was typical for these contexts. It also could have named the place rather than saying Hamakom. The words are chosen to allow for a broader picture. When Yaakov showed he wanted a connection to Hashem at this place, Hashem made it happen. Once he had a desire to connect, Hashem shortened the path to bring Yaakov there without much effort. Hashem adjusts the time, place, and person to make sure that Yaakov could begin the Jewish people. The Tzen Arena discusses the next pasuk, which says, Vayilen sham kivah hashemesh. He lied down there because the sun set. The phraseology is again strange. Rashi questions, why does it say he first slept there and then say the sun set? It should have said it in the opposite order, the sun set, and therefore he was forced to sleep there. The answer is that the sun didn't set at the correct time. According to the laws of nature, there was still more daytime left. The pasuk is stated in this way to make us realize that Hashem made the sun set at the incorrect time to force Yaakov to lie there at the place so this encounter could happen. The Tzen Arena tells us that we need to read the subtext of the pasukim. Yaakov had plans to keep traveling, but since the sun set and it was dark, Yaakov had no other choice but to stay somewhere else than he planned. Hashem is adjusting the fabric of creation, time itself, to bring about this encounter between Yaakov and Hashem, and it was not dependent on Yaakov's actions. What happens next? The Tzen Arena tells us the pasuk says, "Vayikach me'avnei hamakom," and he took from the stones of the place. Yaakov took from the stones of the place and surrounded them around his head like a kind of gutter. Rashi asks a question. Why here do you find that he took a lot of stones, as it says he took from the stones of the place, and later it says, Vaykachas ha'evin, and he took the stone, meaning one stone, to become a monument. Rashi answers that Yaakov himself took a lot of stones and wanted to make a kind of structure around his body because he was afraid of the animals there at night. In the meantime, when he took these stones, the stones started quarreling with each other. This one said, on me the tzaddik should rest his head, and the other said, on me the tzaddik should rest his head. What did Hashem do? He made peace between the stones and arranged it that all the stones became one stone. Why is this argument quoted by the Tzen Arena so important? Again, there's a small anomaly in the text. It says stone and then stones. And from that small discrepancy in grammar, we're meant to intuit an existential reality that is shifting. Here the Medrash tells us, as an explanation, I'm going to quote a Medrash, that Yaakov did a test. Rabbi Yehuda said, Yaakov took 12 stones and Hashem decreed that he would establish 12 tribes. Yaakov said, Avraham did not establish them, neither did Yitzhak. As for me, if these 12 stones join themselves together, I will know that I am the one to establish 12 tribes. Since the 12 stones joined themselves together, he knew that he would be the father of the Jewish nation. According to the Chizkuni, when the stones joined together, it symbolized that all of Yaakov's children would help him fulfill his mission to become the one nation of Hashem. The Tzen Arena continues. The pasuk says, Vayishkav b'makamahu, and he slept in that place. Then Yaakov laid himself down to sleep. A word is out of place because it says that place. Rashi learns and makes a drasha from this that it sounds like only in that place did he sleep. But the 14 years he was studying Torah in the Beis Medrash Shem and Aver, he did not sleep because he learned Torah day and night. Let's understand this. Yitzchak and Rivka told Yaakov to get married. What was he doing for 14 years? Who Yaakov is not by accident. He learned Torah for 14 years. He had prepared himself spiritually, so now he was ready for this monumental task of being the father of the Jewish people. Continuing with the Psukim, the Tzenna Rena tells us, while Yaakov was lying down, Vayachalom, he dreamed, Vine sulam mutzav arza, and behold, a ladder was standing on the ground. Yaakov dreamed that a ladder is standing here on earth, and the head of the ladder reaches to the heavens, and behold, the angels of God are ascending and descending on the ladder. Angels ascend by the ladder to God, and the angels from above found in heaven come down by means of this ladder. The Chizkuni and Rabbeinu Bechaye give another explanation that what were the angels seeing above the ladder? That the form of Yaakov was engraved on the Kiseh HaKavod, on the throne of the glory of Hashem, and the angels who accompanied Yaakov went up initially to see that Yaakov's visage, his face, was engraved on the Kiseh HaKavod, and after that they came down to see if this was indeed Yaakov who was up by the Kiseh HaKavod. What does this section of the Tzenna Rena mean? Chazal tell us that Yaakov Avinu's face is on the Merkava. Avos heim heim amarkava. The Avos are the vehicle through which Hashem's honor permeates the world. The Merkava is the way that Hashem impacts the world. At this time, as Yaakov is about to begin his journey and his task, the Malachim are seeing that it is Yaakov's image that is on the Kiseh HaKavod, not the Malachim's. Yaakov is going to be the person in the world through whom Hashem's plans will all come about. What the Tzenna Rena is pointing out is that this is not a regular dream and this is not a regular person. Something fundamental to the world is happening here, and we can only see it if we look at each word. Tzenna Rena continues that Hashem blesses Yaakov. First, Hashem calls himself the God of Avraham, your father, and then just the God of Yitzchak. The Tzenna Rena quotes an explanation for this fact that Yitzchak doesn't have the name your father after him. Yaakov was afraid that maybe the brachos of Yitzchak would not be upheld since he took them with trickery. In Yitzchak's mind, he wanted to bless Esav. Hashem was saying, Avraham, your father, didn't give his blessings to Yitzchak because he didn't want those blessings to pass down to Esav. Avraham, your father, wanted those blessings to come to you. Again, a small word, Avicha, teaches us so much about the greatness of Yaakov and the divine providence that Hashem is using to orchestrate the plan so that it will be fulfilled. The Tzenna Rena then tells us that Yaakov lays down on the four amos of land, and Hashem said that this earth he is going to be given to your children. What does this mean? Hashem is giving Yaakov a burial plot? Rashi tells us that while Yaakov only spanned four amos on the ground, all the land was under him. Yaakov wasn't just lying on four amos. Rather, Hashem folded the land under Yaakov, and in this way, he showed Yaakov that it would be so easy for him to conquer the whole land, just like he had the four amos of land found under him. What is the Tzenna Rena teaching us? This detail that Hashem brought all the lands of Israel under Yaakov teaches us that space can be bent to the purpose of creation. Moreover, it is not just the children of Yaakov who will fulfill and create the world's destiny. That destiny is bound up with the lands of Israel. We need both to fulfill our mission here. Hashem continues to speak to Yaakov. V'haya zaracha ka'afar ha'aretz. Your children will be like the dust of the ground. Rabbeinu Bechaye asks, why doesn't the Pasuk say your children will be like the stars of heaven? When Hashem spoke to Avram, he promised that his children would have stature, and here Hashem saying you'll be like dust? The answer is, at the time when Yisrael is at its highest heights, and they are tzaddikim, they're righteous, they are compared to the stars of heaven. And if not, at the time when they are chas v'shalom wicked, God forbid, they are compared to the dust of the earth. What does this quote in the Tzenna Rena mean? The nature of the Jewish people is not a standard reality. What other nation has a destiny determined by their spiritual behaviors? Other nations come, they become powerful, and they disappear. Only the Jewish people is eternal. And our status is based on our connection to Hashem. Even at our lowest point, it is because we have a mission from Hashem that Hashem gave Yaakov to fulfill here. If Yaakov's face is on the Merkava, his children are the vehicle through which it all comes together. Bnei Yisrael's status is to push them to fulfill the destiny as the children of Yaakov. The mission being given here is not that they just should burn brightly like stars, but they should always grow like the dust of the earth. Yaakov awakes from his sleep, and he said, I didn't know before that Hashem is found here. If I had known the Shekhinah was here, I would not have laid down here to sleep in such a holy place. Yaakov was afraid, and he said, this is the gate to heaven, and here are our prayers go up to the heavens to Hashem. The next day, Yaakov got up early. He took the stone that he put by his head, and he made the stone into a monument, and he poured oil on it. Yaakov then swears an oath that if Hashem will be good for me and he guards me on the way that I am going, like you promised me, Hashem will be for me as a God. After summarizing these few psukim, the Tzen Arena asks a question that is asked by a number of Mefarshim. How is it possible that Yaakov makes his service of Hashem conditional by saying that only if Hashem helps me will he have Hashem as his God? Which means that if, God forbid, Hashem doesn't want to help him, Yaakov does not want Hashem as a God. Hashem will be with me and guard me have a meaning. As what condition could Yaakov have made with Hashem? Rather, the Tzen Arena says, Yaakov was afraid Shema Yigrom HaChet, that sins would cause a change in the plan, that over time, Yaakov would lose his spiritual status and do averos. Then what would be? Hashem will reject Yaakov and won't want to help him. This is what worried Yaakov. So he requests from Hashem that Hashem should be his God, even if, God forbid, he does some sin. That even then, Hashem should not remove himself from Yaakov. Rather, it should be the opposite, that Hashem will become closer to Yaakov, and Hashem will help Yaakov do tshuva. And this is what Hashem promises, and that's why Yaakov says, Ushmarani b'derech hazeh, that Hashem should guard him on this path, that he should promise Yaakov that any place he goes, Hashem will watch his path to make sure he's going the right way. Once again, a few words teach us a big lesson. Yaakov is not fickle. He doesn't want not just to be mugged, Hashem guard me, I'll decide if I want you as a God. He recognizes that the task that he's embarking on is huge and monumental, and he is requesting spiritual help. Yaakov here is teaching us the lesson that the Yetzer Hara is powerful and he does not want the Jewish people to fulfill our mission, and he is always going to put stumbling blocks in front of us. We cannot defeat him without the protection and help from Hashem. The Tzen Arena continues by quoting the next pasuk. The Nasan li lechem lechol u'begil lobosh. Hashem should give me bread to eat and a garment to wear. Rashi asks, where did the pasuk say that Hashem says to Yaakov that he will give him food to eat, that Yaakov mentions it here? The answer is that Hashem said to Yaakov that he wouldn't leave him. And not providing for his physical needs would be called leaving. Tzen Arena says that someone asks, where do we find that Hashem promised to give Yaakov's clothes to wear? The Sisei Chachamim responds that Hashem promised Yaakov that he would not leave him and that he would have what to eat. It is implied from this that he would also give him clothes to wear, because if Hashem doesn't give clothes to Yaakov, then he would need to minimize his food in order to buy clothes. And he would find that he wouldn't have food either. And so the fact that Hashem promised him food, therefore one has to say that Hashem also promised him clothes. This is the final lesson from the Tzen Arena that we're going to discuss. Hashem is saying that I am giving you, Yaakov, and your children a mission, and I am going to provide you with all the tools that you need in this world to complete that mission. You don't need to worry about whether you're going to have food, about whether you're going to have clothes. You are part of my plan. As the children of Yaakov, we also do not need to fear about where are we going to get what we need to live, because if a person makes himself part of Hashem's plan, he will never be abandoned. We say at the end of benching, V'lo ra'isi tzadik ne'ezav. I've never seen a tzadik abandoned. V'zaro mavakesh lachem, that his children are looking for bread. So let's go back and understand what we've just learned. This section of the Tzen Arena, when I first looked at it, was just simple Rashis that day schools teach in third grade. But what we learned is that nothing about Rashi is simple. No message from Chazal is simple. We need to ask and think deeper and deeper. We learned that we are part of a really big plan. We can look at our lives and think that we're just regular people doing regular things. Our life is just going along from one step to the other. Just like someone who's not attuned to the psukim could have read the psukim and thought that Yaakov Avinu was hiking and camping for the night. But that's not what life as a Jew is. There is always a plan. What we do has implications and is part of Hashem's plan for the universe. And Hashem will orchestrate the world, space, time, and people to fulfill his plan. We can choose to be part of that effort. And just like Yaakov davened for help, that he not succumb to his Yetzer Hara, we also can daven for help that we not succumb to our Yetzer Hara, to our baser side, but that we should grow and help history come back to its purpose, that the children of Yisrael will be in the land of Eretz Yisrael serving Hashem. Have a good Shabbos.